Turning this morning for our Bible reading to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27, and we're going to read together from verse 20 of this chapter. Acts chapter 27, the 20th verse. Breaking into the chapter that we considered last Lord's Day morning, where Paul is on his way to Rome, from Caesarea to Rome. He is a prisoner on a ship, and they have left Fair Havens at a bad time of year, in October, and it's not a good time for sailing, and they're not long out of that port until they find that they're in the midst of a fierce tempest. And we looked at that last Lord's Day, and I want to pick up the reading there again at verse 20, because it gives us some details of that storm and what happens to Paul in the midst of that storm. We'll not read the entire chapter or the rest of the chapter this morning either, but we will refer to the closing verses of the chapter also, and then next Lord's Day, God willing, we'll move into the final chapter of the book of Acts and towards the close of our study in this particular book. But Acts chapter 27, and we'll read from verse 20. "And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island." We'll finish there this morning at verse 26. We pray the Lord will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Verse 25 contains a great statement of the Apostle Paul in the midst of this storm. "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me." The theme that I want to look at this morning is the theme, very simply, of surviving the storms of life. Surviving the storms of life. And taking these words in Acts 27 as our text. With our Bibles open before us, let's just unite our hearts together in a further word of prayer, praying for the Lord's help and the Lord's blessing upon his word this morning. Father in heaven, we come before thee in our Savior's name. We pray now for the help and the power of thy Spirit as we turn to thy word. Lord, very often we approach Scripture and our hearts are dull. We cry today that thou wilt take away the dullness of our hearts. Sometimes we approach thy word and we don't come with a very teachable spirit. Lord, give us a teachable spirit today, we pray. There are times, our Father, we approach thy word and our concentration is easily broken. We pray today that thou would cause our concentration to be fixed upon thy word. And Lord, thou would come and graciously and powerfully speak to our hearts. We ask for this congregation, Lord, that thou would give a hearing ear and understanding heart to thy word. Give help in the preaching, therefore, of this message. Give help in the hearing of it as well. And Lord, we ask today it might be an encouragement to thy people, that thou wilt come and minister unto us as thou dost know our own particular and personal need in these days. Lord, come and minister to our hearts, we ask in our Savior's precious name. So be with us now, we pray. Bless the preaching of thy word, we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. If we ever needed proof that Christians can sometimes face frustrating and dangerous and unexpected events in life, we find that proof in the experience of the Apostle Paul here in Acts chapter 27. The events in this chapter, the storm, the shipwreck, the desperate attempt to cling onto life, took place while the Apostle Paul was endeavoring to do God's will. This was not Jonah part 2. Paul was not a disobedient preacher trying to escape from God's call, running in the opposite direction, hoping to avoid ministering to a particular people in a particular place. Rather, here is the Apostle Paul, and he's in the center of God's will. For many years, Paul had longed to preach in Rome. And though now he was a prisoner, he was eventually on his way. And his prayer to be in Rome was being answered. And yet for all of that, Paul found himself in the midst of a ferocious storm at sea that at one point looked as if it might result in the death of all those who were on board that ship. For more than 14 days, these men struggled against a fierce eastern wind that drove the ship in the wrong direction. They had to dump the cargo of wheat into the sea. They tried to hold things together by undergirding the ship or strapping the ship together with ropes. They decided to get rid of the extra tackling and thus lighten the vessel. But it all seemed to be a very hopeless exercise. For despite their very best efforts, using all the skill and all the strength that they had, the men eventually had to abandon ship and swim for their lives to the nearest island. This was not what Paul would have wanted as he traveled to Rome. He was anxious to get there, anxious to defend himself before Caesar, anxious to minister with the saints of God, to meet with them and to fellowship with them in the gospel. But here he was, and he had come within an inch of being drowned at sea. And at the end of the chapter, he is shipwrecked on an island called Malta. The Apostle Paul and those who had traveled with him, but the Apostle Paul especially, was in the midst of a frustrating and dangerous and mysterious set of circumstances. And we can often identify with that. The Christian life and the course of the Christian life is often beset with trials and storms and events that seem as if they're going to overwhelm us and destroy us. We face storms in our personal lives at times. We face storms in our families. We face storms at work. We face storms that come unexpectedly and seem to linger for days, perhaps weeks, and in some cases months. Storms in life that we seem hopeless and powerless to deal with, and storms that appear to throw us off course and that threaten to destroy us and break us in pieces. In Acts chapter 27 illustrates events that are true to life for every child of God. You think of this, Paul suffered exactly as those around him suffered. Though he was God's man, though he was a missionary who had been involved in the planting of many churches, though he was in God's will, though he was coming to Rome with worthy aims, though he had the best wishes of God's people on his heart, though he's used mightily in the spread of the gospel, Paul finds himself here, thrown around that ship like all the other men on board. The winds and waves that battered them battered him. He heard the thunder as well. He felt the surge and the swell of the sea at that time. Paul experienced it all, even though he was a child of God. He was not exempt from those things. He was not exempt from that storm. He experienced every part of it. Being a Christian did not mean that he escaped what was the lot of others. And believer, we must realize that as well. There are afflictions and trials and troubles that Christians will face just like everyone else. We're not exempt from those things. We're not exempt from the storms of life. You'll notice also as you read Acts 27 that there was no immediate divine intervention. Could God not have stopped that storm? Could he not have overruled and caused Paul to sail to Rome on calm waters? Could he not have ordered the waves to stop and the wind to cease? Of course he could have. God is sovereign over all things, and many times in the New Testament you find Christ stilling the storm on the Sea of Galilee, But on this occasion, God did not still the storm. That kind of question is often a mystery to us. Why doesn't God do something to change our circumstances? Why does God allow the storms of life to rage when he could stop them? Why doesn't God order things in our lives that would make life easier for us? Why does he order things that are hard to bear and difficult to explain? I don't have an answer to that except to rest my weary soul in the truth. As for God, his way is perfect. This storm that Paul was in, there was no immediate divine intervention. Note something else here. Paul was unable to avoid certain losses at this time. The cargo was lost. The tackling of the ship was lost. The ship itself was eventually lost. Paul had warned that in verse 10. He said the voyage would be with hurt and much damage. Later in the chapters, we've read here in verse 22, he tells the men, "I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship." There's going to be losses. There are things we're not going to be able to hold on to here. We're going to lose the cargo. We're going to lose the tackling. We're going to lose the ship. There will be losses. And there are times when the Christian suffers loss. There are times things happen in life that we can't hold on to. And we suffer loss. The trials of life are real. The storms come even to the very best of God's people. There are times we feel helpless. There are times we imagine the worst. There are times we can't see the way forward. And the course of the Christian's life is not always easy. There are huge challenges. But notice here that Paul did not complain against the providence of God. In fact, he acted very wisely given his circumstances. He used his common sense. He gave good instruction to the other men. He tried to help in practical ways. He directed things for the good of others. He maintained a clear Christian testimony. And in all of those things, Paul sought to glorify the Lord. He was facing the same storm, the same problems, the same dangers that those other men were facing. But he stepped up to the mark and he tried to encourage them, showing that the Christian life is intensely practical and involves a true love for our fellow men. It's a very important thing to notice that, just how human Paul is in the midst of the storm. How Christ-like he is in the midst of the storm. But the highlight of this storm is found in verses 21 to 25. It involves Paul speaking of his meeting with an angel of the Lord that appeared to him at night, testifying then to these men that not only did he belong to the Lord and he served him, but that he believed him and that no life would be lost in the midst of the storm. In fact, in many ways, from verse 20 to verse 25, we have there the record of the turning point in the storm. Paul's testimony. Paul uses that battered ship as a pulpit to speak of Christ. And as he does so, he provides tremendous encouragement to us, as we sail through life and encounter storms in life. So I want to take these verses, this passage of Scripture that we've read together, and consider with you the subject of surviving the storms of life, taking Paul's experience as an illustration and of the Lord's mercies to us in times like that. And I have three observations in mind. Notice first of all here the great comfort in the midst of the storm. The great comfort in the midst of the storm. It's clear from the words of this chapter that the Apostle Paul enjoyed the company of at least two other believers on the voyage from Caesarea to Rome. Notice verse 1. It says, "When it was determined that we should sail into Italy." And notice how it's put there. It was determined that we should sail. We know that the writer of the book of Acts is Luke. And it seems, therefore, that Luke is now with the Apostle Paul on this journey. Then look also at the closing part of verse 2, where Luke notes that one Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. Aristarchus was a believer who had been assaulted in Ephesus. He had traveled with Paul to Jerusalem some 2 years earlier, a very close friend of the apostle, and he also is on this ship. There were prisoners there, but obviously there was room for passengers, and Luke and Aristarchus are able to pay their fare and are able to join with Paul as he makes this journey to Rome. So Paul doesn't travel by himself. He has the company of other believers. And no doubt he's able to meet with them, no doubt he's able to fellowship with these two men at least, as he journeys towards Rome. That must have been a tremendous benefit to the Apostle Paul. For some time he had been alone. It seems for the previous 2 years he had been going from trial to trial, and he's by himself. But now he has some Christian fellowship. And by all reckoning, that must have been an encouragement to him. I don't want to get sidetracked here, but every believer needs that. I fear we often misunderstand the benefit of fellowshipping with God's people. It is not a good thing. It is not a good thing for a child of God to go long periods without the company of God's people. There is a comforting, challenging, encouraging, iron-sharpening, iron aspect to this. Just to get together with the Lord's people, to pray together with the Lord's people, to talk with the Lord's people about the things of God is a vital part of living the Christian life. And I worry. I worry for those who don't seem to treasure the fellowship of God's people. Paul would have benefited from having Luke and Aristarchus with him. But the greatest comfort for Paul in the midst of that storm, as mentioned in the words of verse 23 and 24, where he says, "There stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that seal with thee." This heavenly messenger, this angel of God, was sent by the Lord to encourage the great apostle. And the timing, he came in the night. Right in the midst of the storm, right when things were at their worst, right when there was danger and the whole thing was hanging by a thread, the Lord sends an angel. He sends a messenger because the Lord is moving here to comfort his servant in the midst of the storm. I don't think the other men on board were aware of this meeting at night. But amid all the turmoil, when everything is in trouble and the men are giving up hope of ever being saved, Paul meets with a messenger of God. The Lord comes to comfort him. The Lord is ministering to his servant. And as you think of that fact, there in the midst of the storm, in the darkness of the night, when there's turmoil all around, and the angel of the Lord comes and speaks with Paul. There are certain things that stand out from that truth. For example, the Lord knew exactly where Paul was. Verse 23 tells us the angel of God stood by or stood beside Paul. How this happened, we're not told. But the word suggests that God knew all about Paul's circumstances and sent his messenger to Paul at that particular time. This was not an accidental appearance. This was not the angel just stumbling upon Paul. He was sent to Paul. And as he was sent by Paul and came, he stood beside the apostle. Because the Lord knew where Paul was. There was not one detail about Paul or about the storm or about the sea or about the ship that God did not know. And he moved to comfort his servant in the midst of those known circumstances. So it is with our circumstances. God is able to minister unto us because he has perfect knowledge of every detail of our lives. And just as the storm did not prevent the Lord ministering to Paul, so, believer, the storms of life that you face, the trials, the troubles, the problems that perhaps are known to no one else but to you and God, those storms cannot hinder God ministering to you. Whatever your trial, whatever your storm is, God knows. God knows. That's why he's able to send, and the thought behind the word angel is just a messenger. The Lord sent this angel as his messenger to go to Paul. Because the Lord knew exactly where Paul was, and the Lord knows every detail of your circumstances in this service this morning. Notice also the Lord had a word to allay Paul's fears. Every man on board that ship was filled with fear. They thought everything was going to be lost. You put yourself in their circumstances. The storm had been raging for days. The wind and the waves had shown no sign of easing. The ship was being wrecked on the open sea. There's no telling where these men are. Verse 20 tells us that they couldn't see or didn't see the sun or stars for days. That doesn't mean much to us with our GPSs and our smartphones, but sailing in those days without able to see the sun or able to see the stars, they had no means of navigation. They had no idea where they were. They're lost at sea. They're lost at sea, and there's nothing more these men could do. Their hearts are filled with fear. Their hearts are terrified, hardened sailors, hardened prisoners, hardened soldiers, and they're petrified in the midst of the storm. And Paul's afraid as well. Christians can be afraid. Christians can tremble in the midst of the storms of life. We can shake with fear. But what lies ahead of us? But note what the angel says in verse 24. He tells in verse 23, the angel of God stood by me, saying, "Fear not, Paul." Why does he say that? Because Paul is terrified. Paul's afraid in the storm. And if ever there was a word in season to this man's heart, it's here. The Lord knew Paul's state of mind. He knew the fear that had gripped him. He understood all the turmoil in Paul's heart as well. And they had a word that was perfect for that time. Our Savior knows the word we need. Never fail to be struck by the words of Isaiah 50, which tells of the Lord who has been given the tongue of the learned to speak a word in season to those who are weary. There's a message of hope for the child of God. The Lord knows the word you need to hear. And as you read the word, and as you come to the Lord's house, haven't you often found the Lord just gives you the word that you need for that day? That's why it's important to be in the Lord's house. It's why it's important to be in the word, even in the midst of the storms of life. With Christ as our Savior, we have no need to fear. For Christ has a word for us. Notice also the Lord gave assurance that Paul's prayers had been heard and answered. Notice what the angel goes on to say in verse 24. "Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee." The word given or granted comes from a word that includes the idea of grace. The Lord has given thee, or the Lord has granted thee, all them that sail with thee. And the thought is that God had graciously heard Paul's prayer. The Lord is saying, they will be given to you. You will be granted this. And the thought is that Paul must have been praying for these men. He must have been praying for the other sailors. He must have been praying for the soldiers and for the other prisoners. He's not so much praying for himself in the midst of the storm, but he's praying for others. And as the storm rages, the angel comes and he assures Paul, "Paul, your prayers have been answered. The Lord has given you. The Lord has granted you all those that sail with you." Paul, your prayers have not gone unnoticed. The Lord has heard your prayers, Paul. The Lord has not closed his ear to your cry. The Lord is not distant from you that he cannot hear you. The Lord is there, and the Lord has heard your prayer, and the Lord has answered your prayer as well. What a comfort that must have been to Paul. I think of Hannah in the Old Testament, and before she leaves the temple, she has the assurance from Eli that God had heard her and God had answered her prayer as well. Does that not thrill the heart and the soul of a child of God to know our prayers have not been in vain, even in the midst of the storms of life? How often do you not read the psalmist testifying and the Lord telling the psalmist, call upon me in the day of trouble and I will answer thee? David responds by testifying, the Lord heard him. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The trials and storms that we face do not cut us off from God. We have a God that hears and answers prayer. We have a God who regards the cries of his people, even in the storms of life, even when it seems that all hope is gone. Believer, never give up in prayer, because God's ear is open to the cry of his people. Notice also God confirmed his will for Paul's life. Look also at verse 24 again, saying, fear not, Paul, here's the word of the angel of the Lord, the messenger, coming with a message from God. Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. In other words, Paul, you will be in Rome. The Lord had indicated this was his will for Paul, and now he has that confirmed to him. He has the assurance that he is in God's will, and God's will be completed. God's will be fulfilled. What an encouragement that must have been to Paul. He's in the midst of a storm that's threatening to break this ship to pieces and be the means of the loss of all who sail on board. And now the Lord comes and, Paul, you'll be in Rome. This is my will for you. This is the way I'm going to lead you. This is where I'll bring you. What a comfort that must have been. The Lord also guaranteed a safe outcome to the trial. The combined force of the words of verse 24 clearly indicate that though the ship was in the midst of the storm and would be lost, lives would be spared. Paul understood it that way. He says in verse 22, there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. God would carry them through. The storm would be over. While the ship would be wrecked, the men would be spared. Right in the darkness of the night, the storm still raging and the wind still blowing and the waves still battering that vessel, Paul receives one of the most comforting interventions of his entire life. A word from God. All hope is gone. He has been in the darkness for days now, with no sign of any kind of relief coming, when right in the midst of it all, the Lord graciously comes and ministers to him. And believer, we can expect the same in the storms of life. Does Jesus care when we're in the midst of fierce trials? Does Jesus care when it seems life is falling apart? When what we desire from life doesn't seem to be coming to pass? When it seems as if trouble after trouble after trouble comes, like wave after wave after wave battering Paul's ship? Does Jesus care in times like that? Does he care for us when it seems we have lost hope with life? Of course he cares. It's the great comfort in the midst of the storm. The Lord has a message for us. Let us therefore look to him to undertake for us in the storms that we face. Not only do I see the great comfort in the midst of the storm, I see the great confidence in the midst of the storm. Paul doesn't keep this message to himself. In verse 21, after a long abstinence or a long time without food, these men have not been eating in the midst of the storm. So after a long abstinence or a long fast from food, Paul stands up to address the sailors. And after reminding them that they should have listened to him and never left Fair Havens, "I told you so," he told them then to be of good cheer, for no one was going to lose their life in the storm. And then Paul goes on to explain this visitation from the angel of God and how the Lord had promised that lives would be spared. And then Paul makes that tremendous statement of faith in verse 25. "Wherefore, sirs, I be of good cheer, for I believe God." He's talking to pagan sailors. He's talking now to heathen prisoners. And he makes this tremendous statement of faith. "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." Paul trusted God. He had absolute confidence in the Lord. And notice some details here. Paul trusted the Lord, and he trusted the word that he had received from God. He trusted the word that he had received from God. Verse 25 makes that clear. "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." His confidence was not based on his own opinions here. It's not that Paul looked over the side of the ship and thought, "Well, it's not too bad. We can survive this." His confidence was based upon the word of God. He's not trusting the words of the captain or the centurion. He's not even thinking about what Luke and Aristarchus have been saying to him. He's resting on the revealed word of God. God said something to Paul. God gave a promise to Paul, and Paul believed that. It was all he had. If he was looking at his circumstances, there was nothing comforting there. But Paul had something more than circumstances to look at. He had something more than circumstances to think about. He had a word from God. And he was content with that. He was standing on the promises that cannot fail. And believer, we can do the same. We can stand upon the promises of God's word. Listen, God doesn't play games with us and his word. God's not playing games with his people in the midst of their storms. He's not playing games with us in the midst of our trials. God gives us his word. And he gives us a word in season, so that we can stand upon that. So that we can rest upon that. And when God speaks to our hearts and he impresses the truth upon our minds and upon our souls, it is that we would trust him. You ever think sometimes that's why God brings us into trials? To strengthen our faith. To show us we can, in every single circumstance of life, we can take God at his word. Paul trusted the word that he had received from the Lord. Has the Lord spoken to you through the word? Impressed upon your heart and mind a promise of his, a statement of truth? Believer, don't let that go. The promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. He is not a man that he should lie. He performs what he promises, and we can rest upon that. Notice also Paul trusted God despite his outward circumstances. The angel of the Lord came to Paul here in the midst of the storm. The tempest is still raging. The sun and the stars are still hidden from these men. The ship is still breaking up under the pounding force of the wind and the waves. But Paul does not lose confidence in God because of his circumstances. Very often we look at our circumstances and we lose confidence in God. Paul is different. When the angel of the Lord came to Paul that night, there was no evident change in circumstances. But he tells these men, "Sirs, I believe God."
Moses was like that.
By faith he led the people of Israel through the wilderness, through all those changing circumstances. But it was by faith he did so. He endured seeing him who is invisible. I think of Job in Job 13, verse 15, and you know something of his trials and his difficulties and his health and his family and his wife and his wealth and everything gone from him. And what does Job say in Job 13, verse 15? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Doesn't matter what happens to me, I'm going to trust the Lord. No loss of confidence. No loss of confidence because of the circumstances. Is it not true that we're prone to do that? We're like Peter, walking across the waves towards Christ, and then he sees the wind and he sees the waves and he begins to sink, and his faith is not very strong. Sometimes our faith is strong while life is good. And our faith is strong when things are going the way we want them to go. And our faith is strong when we are in calm waters in life. But let the storm begin to blow. Sometimes we go to pieces. It seems sometimes that we have fair weather faith. Daytime faith. Our faith is weak. Believer, but our God is strong. And therefore, regardless of our circumstances, whether it's in the nighttime of affliction, whether it's in the stormy time of trouble that has come into our souls or into our families or into our homes or wherever, we can trust God. Let us pray. Let us pray for faith that is firm even in the midst of stormiest seasons of life. Paul believed God even though his circumstances were just exactly the same. His trust in God filled him with cheer. Look at what the angel tells him in verse 23, 24. There stood by me this night the angel of God whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, I must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. He's encouraging others because the Lord has encouraged him. And faith does this. Faith does this. Unbelief robs us of our joy. When we begin to doubt the word of God, when we begin to doubt the providence of God, we begin to doubt the ways of God in our lives. What happens? We lose our joy, and unbelief will fill us with despair. Losing sight of God will result in misery and despondency. But faith does the opposite. Faith does the opposite. It is saving faith that fills the sinner with good cheer. It's what the Lord says in the New Testament when he talks to the man with the palsy. He tells him, be of good cheer. Thy sins have been forgiven thee. Forgiveness of sin brings good cheer. Faith in Christ, repentance towards God, brings good cheer. And it's true for us as well. Even in the midst of the storms of life, faith in God will fill the believer with cheer. It will fill the child of God with joy. Notice also that Paul trusted God and made public confession of him to others. Look at the words of verse 23. There stood by me this night, he tells them what's happened throughout the night. And then verse 25, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. What a testimony to heathen sailors who had their false gods. We know that from Acts 28 and verse 11. And very often on the bow of their ships, they had a name of a false god. And if that was the case here in this ship from Alexandria, some name of a false god on the front part of their vessel, and that God did nothing to spare them at this time. Paul stands and says, I believe God. He gives a tremendous testimony. Here's Paul speaking up for Christ. testifying to prisoners, testifying to sailors, testifying to a Roman centurion that God could be trusted. Faith is a good witness. It's a great witness to the unsaved when the child of God has faith and the child of God faces the very same storms in life as the unsaved faces. But as the unsaved person looks at the believer and sees a calmness of heart, sees a confidence in God, sees a resting in the providence and the sovereignty of God, doesn't fall to pieces in the midst of the storm, what a testimony that is to the unbeliever. I believe God. I believe God. Believer, we can face the storms of life with a firm confidence in the Lord. God will not fail us. He never has. And he never will. He is a trustworthy God. He has never forsaken us in the past. He has never failed us for the present. And he will not do so in the future either. He is our Heavenly Father. And as our Heavenly Father, we can trust him. There are some people who live in this world and they cannot trust their earthly father. But we can always trust our Heavenly Father. He will never fail his people. Here's Paul, battered in the storm. He says, "Sirs, I believe God. I believe." The great comfort in the midst of the storm, the great confidence in the midst of the storm. Notice lastly what I've called the great carefulness in the midst of the storm. This word that the Lord brought to Paul was very encouraging to him, but notice verse 26, "Howbeit we must be cast upon a certain island." The Lord has come to him and encouraged his heart and told him that all is going to be well in regard to the men on board, their lives are going to be spared. Howbeit, they're going to be shipwrecked on an island. The presence of the Lord did not suddenly still the storm and remove all the threat, all the losses. Not at all. They were still going to face this storm as it came to its conclusion. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But Paul approaches this part of the storm, the after meeting with the angel of God, he approaches this part of the storm with tremendous carefulness, very practically. And there are things we must take note of as we live by faith. For example, we ought to act sensibly and reasonably. Faith is never careless. Faith is never reckless. Look at verse 29. "Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day." So here are men and they're still trying to do what they can. They've just been told that no life is going to be lost, but they just don't throw caution to the wind and say, "Well, let's just wait and see how this works out." They throw out their anchors. They try to steady the thing. Look at verse 33. "While the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, 'This day is the 14th day that you have tarried, and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health. There shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you.'" Take some meat. Look after your health. This is good for your health. Keep up your strength. It's a very practical thing in the midst of the storms. He has faith in God. He knows that he's going to be in Rome. He knows that the lives of the men in the ship, they're safe. But you better eat something. Take care of your body as well. Look at verse 38 of the chapter. "When they'd eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast the wheat into the sea." They're still trying to do what they can to see this storm through. And then verse 39 as well. "When it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore, into the which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship." They're taking very practical steps here, very practical, reasonable, sensible things to do. That's how we ought to live our lives. Walking by faith does not mean we cast sense away. There are times when storms come. Some people go off their food. Obviously, these men had for 14 days and just hadn't time and didn't feel like eating in the midst of the storm, and Paul tells them, you better eat something. It's the same with Hannah in the Old Testament. She hadn't eaten. And then she goes to pray and she hears the promise of the Lord and she goes and she eats. Let's walk by faith, but in walking by faith, let's not just become reckless or careless and say, well, whatever will be, will be. There are things we must take heed to and take care of, even in the storms of life. Furthermore, don't look for relief from the wrong sources. Look at verse 30 of this chapter. Paul has told them this, and as they are sailing towards the island, they find that the water is becoming more shallow, and therefore they throw out the anchors in verse 29. And verse 30 tells us, as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Those vessels carried a smaller boat that would have taken the men to the shore. And some of these soldiers were thinking, well, here's our opportunity. We're not too far from land now. Let's lower down this boat. We'll get into this boat and we will escape. We will flee out of the ship and let it be whatever happens the rest of the men. And Paul says, don't do that. There's no safety outside this vessel. You've got to stay here until it's time to leave. Look at verse 32. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. What must those men have thought as they watched that small boat land into the sea? Their only hope, they thought, of safety was now cut adrift. But there was no safety and no relief from the wrong source. Isaiah 50, I mentioned Isaiah 50. It speaks in that chapter of those who walk in darkness. Talking about believers who walk in darkness, walk in trials, walk in times of sorrow. And the temptation is that we try to light the darkness ourselves. We try to find a solution to our trial by ourselves. And very often when we do that, we look for relief from the wrong source. In this case in Acts 27, in this case in Isaiah 50, where they're told not to kindle their own fire, warns against that. We are to trust the Lord. We are to wait upon the Lord. We are to do what the Lord commands us to do. And that brings me to the third thought here in this idea of the carefulness. We are to commit ourselves to the care and keeping of our eternal God. Look at verse 43 and verse 44. Because it tells us there, the centurion, the soldiers were going to kill the prisoners, and the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they all escaped safe to land. They had to cast themselves into the sea. Those that could swim cast themselves into the sea. Those that couldn't swim grabbed something of the breaking ship and they floated using those pieces of wood, those pieces of broken ship, and they got to land. Casting themselves really upon the mercy and the keeping of God. And believer, there are times when we need to do the same simply. Trust our steps to God. Casting ourselves upon Him. Realizing afresh that underneath us are the everlasting arms. That the eternal God is our refuge and our strength. That we can rely upon Him. We can trust in God. He comes to comfort. He comes to encourage. He comes to increase our confidence. He comes to direct our steps. And we can rely upon Him. And child of God, every storm we face will one day be over. It may last our lifetime. But one day the storms of life will be over. And we will enter into that safe haven of rest. It's good for us to remind ourselves of that. The storms of life can last a long time down here, and it seems we go from one storm to the other storm. But the day will come when there'll be no more storms. I think of that in regard to the child of God. What about the unsaved? You face storms in life too. Trials and troubles and sicknesses and disappointments and discouragements and things that you're not expecting. Storm of life. It's nothing. It's nothing to the storm you face in eternity. You live and die without Christ. There you face the storm of God's wrath. It will be a storm forever and forever and forever. And therefore you need Christ. It's only Christ who can save you from the storm of eternal judgment. Let's take heart to these words. Take heed to them and take heart from them for the child of God. God grants comfort. He increases our faith. And he directs us. So let's lean upon him. Let's trust him day after day. In all the various changing storms and circumstances we face, God never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the Lord, he changes not. Therefore, the sons of Jacob, his people, are not consumed. What a Savior. What a Christ. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts for Jesus' sake. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy word, and we pray today that you'll bless it to hearts. Lord, thou knowest those who have gathered here today with trials and troubles, perhaps loved ones not saved, family members not converted, troubles in homes, troubles in lives. Lord, grant thy people strength. We thank thee for the message from the Lord that encouraged Paul. And Lord, let thy word be a message from heaven to encourage our hearts today. Bless thy people. Give them strength. Undertake for us in all the various trials and troubles and afflictions that we face. May we be encouraged in Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. Remember the unsaved, Lord, and the storm that they face. For all eternity, have mercy upon them and save them, we pray. So part us now with thy blessing. Take us our ways in safety. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.